News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 1065. Almost pulled a Buttram there. I've got it in reverse. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, and Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig, and we're turning up your voice. This hour, 251-343-0106, if you want to give us a call. Obviously, that's also the Ascension Technologies text line.
Yes, and you can text us about, well, just about anything, including traffic updates, and that's what we have from Michael right here. Michael texted in, brand new wreck on Moffitt, eastbound, just before I-65. Michael says it happened right behind him. Hope you weren't the cause, Michael, but thanks for the update, even if you were, I guess. Brand new wreck on Moffitt, eastbound, just before I-65.
Why the heck are you dragging Michael into this? He was nice enough to text us, and then suddenly accusing him of being the reason for the wreck.
He said it happened right behind him. I'm just saying. There's a possibility. There's a possibility he was involved.
Well, there's a possibility that there's a rainbow out there right now. We just can't assume it and start calling it, talking about all the rainbows in the sky.
Good point. Good point. I apologize, Michael.
Man.
I know you had nothing to do with this, and we do appreciate you
giving
us the
update.
Do
you want anybody to ever text us again?
What does it mean when you're not even worth being a hostage to a country like North Korea?
That's hard to believe that, you know, you put a... Everything is business. You put a price value on a home or on a car or on whatever item. If you put the price on a life, is it really zero? Because it looks like in this case it is.
Yeah. I mean, would it hurt your feelings if North Korea doesn't want you to be a hostage?
Yeah.
North Korea announced today it would expel Travis King. He is the soldier who had been detained there since he ran across the DMZ back in July. Remember, he was fleeing to North Korea to avoid being brought back to the United States. The 23-year-old allegedly confessed to illegally entering North Korea following an investigation. That's what the officials with the Korean Central News Agency said today. Quote, the relevant organ of the DPRK decided to expel Travis King, a soldier of the U.S. Army, who illegally intruded into the territory of the DPRK under the law of the Republic. He was facing disciplinary action following a series of dust-ups in South Korea, and was reportedly bitter over poor treatment and racism within the U.S. forces. Now, North Korea did not specify when exactly they would deport King or where they would send him, and a spokesman for King's family did not respond to requests for comment today. He had recently been, before he left for North Korea, released from a South Korean prison and was set to fly back to the U.S., slipped his military escort, and was later caught on film at a tour of the Joint Security Area on July 18th. And U.S. officials later confirmed King made a deliberate decision to cross into the infamously isolated,
remember that,
stringent country. I'm sure Biden administration will spin this as a victory, and maybe it is. I don't know if North Korea is not even willing to keep a U.S. member of the military who came into their country as hostage. I mean, what's the world coming to?
2023 LVH King is the least valuable hostage. He'll go down forever as being that. What happens now? Some sort of court-martial? Well,
they haven't said when they'll release him. I don't know, because with Bo Bergdahl, I mean, very different situation, but also some similarities, as you know, he was being held hostage by an adversary.
He walked right into it.
And he was being accused of, dereliction of duty or whatever the exact charges were. But because it was such a big deal that he was brought back out of that hostage situation into the U.S. With a massive trade, if you remember that, where a lot of, I think, five from Guantanamo Bay were sent back over there to Qatar.
Yeah.
Where they have no involvement at all now with the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or anything like that.
Of course.
But Bergdahl, I mean, he never really paid for it, right? So this Travis King, if he was set to be court-martialed and now he's just going to be released, I don't know. Do you punish him, or do you say that was punishment enough being held in a North Korean prison for 2 or 3 months?
Has it been that long now?
July, I guess, is when he crossed over.
Yeah, I don't know.
And there's no telling what his treatment was like there. They also, was it Otto Warmbier, remember, that North Korea, I don't know if they ever completely confirmed exactly how he died or was put into a coma under North Korean care. I believe they beat him to death, basically. By the time he was released back into the care of his family, he was in a coma and then never came out of it.
Terrible story.
Yeah. So there you go. Travis King being released. No telling when or where, though, exactly. And then you have the United Auto Workers strike that's ongoing, and both President Biden and former President Donald Trump trying to gain some political points by visiting with the union in Biden's case, or talking in Detroit, as Trump is set to do tonight, and kind of overshadowing Biden being at the UAW picket line yesterday was his health, kind of like we seem to be talking about all the time. And a report that came out on Axios, I know that Leanna shared this on our Facebook page, that the administration and the folks around Biden are doing everything they can to make life easier on him so that there's fewer slips and falls or gaffes that he has. But even yesterday, after that article came out, the 80-year-old president slipped and nearly tumbled down a 14-step staircase while he was coming off Air Force One. That came hours after it was revealed he's working with a physical therapist and using shorter stairs to avoid further trip-ups. This happened right after Biden touched down at the Detroit Metro Airport. The UAW president was there, Sean Fain. So was the Michigan lieutenant governor. And it looks like three Democrat representatives from Michigan. They were all there to welcome Biden onto the tarmac and into the picket line eventually. I guess he was out there at the picket line for about 12 to 14 minutes, spoke for just a short amount of time with the auto workers.
First time that a president has ever been on a picket line in the history of the United States, I believe. So
that's
who's advising him to do something like that? Is it advisable? Was it a good, if it was a good move politically, why have we never, ever, ever seen it before? It's just kind of curious. Mm-hmm. President on a picket line. There was a report last week, I believe, they were going to send in a couple of people, as I referred them, Twiddledee and Twiddledum, from the White House to help with negotiations.
Yeah.
Speaking of negotiations, when you look at what Sean Fain is asking for, and of course, when you're negotiating, you ask for the moon, and it's 36% pay increase. I think that's over 5 years that it would eventually be up near 40%. Mm. Also, one thing that's gotten a lot of people's attention too is that they're, again, just asking in negotiations right now, Dalton, for a four-day work week.
Yeah, shorter work. 32 hours, is that right?
32 hours. Yeah, four-day work week. So it seems like they said when you negotiate, you ask for the moon. They're asking for the moon, it seems like. And why would the president feel like he needs to be squarely on one side or the other?
Well, you know, doesn't the federal government, they step in when it's a big enough labor dispute that it could affect the country. What was the last one? Was that airline? Yeah, I think it was the airline pilots that the administration stepped in for whatever that dispute was. I have the audio here.
Most famous was the air traffic controllers back in Reagan's day.
Yeah.
Put an end to that.
But it was interesting last week, and I've completely lost my computer here. See if I can get that audio here in a little bit. But it was interesting, like you said, Tweedledee and Tweedledum last week, Biden offered their assistance, and the union was like, no, we've got this under control. We don't need your help at all. And that was interesting. I mean, you would think that somebody would want the president to be on their side.
Yeah.
That's clearly not the case here with the UAW, although Fain was there to welcome him and talk to him yesterday. Now, Trump, what I've been reading today is that Trump will not be meeting with Fain. Fain has turned down a meeting with Trump.
Okay.
And I think the reason—
But he's in Detroit.
Yeah, he's in Detroit for a speech tonight while the Republican debate's going on. I think the reason that Biden felt like he needed to get out there is with 2024 looming. Trump did a dang good job getting the union vote in 2016.
He did.
I'm not sure if that translated in 2020 or not. Apparently not enough. But he is, unlike many other Republicans, I mean, Mitt Romney was not going to get the United Auto Worker vote.
Right.
He just wasn't. Trump was. And we talked about this some yesterday, but because he did such a good job back in 2015 of laying out how all of these jobs that used to belong to folks working on the car lines in Detroit or what? Put your factory here in small town America, that all those jobs have gone to Mexico or China. And he did a great job of that. Unions really kind of went to his side, especially over Hillary Clinton. So Biden knows that they are ripe for the 2024 election, and that he's going to have to compete against Trump for those votes once again.
The UAW used to be so powerful. Now they're not nearly as powerful, and a lot of that's got to do with global, you know, buying more cars made elsewhere. Of course, you've got plants. You have Toyota plants and Honda plants, I believe, and assembly plants in the United States as well. Mm-hmm. There's one in Tennessee, I think.
I think
it's a Toyota one. There's one in the Midwest. There's probably a number of them. So, but as far as political sway, the UAW doesn't have nearly what they had years ago.
No, not like the teachers union, like you said. And I don't see how that, I mean, I understand the workers asking for more money. That makes sense. Shorter work weeks. But as far as labor efficiency or competing to get these jobs back into the United States, if you were a owner or CEO of a corporation who makes vehicles, would you rather pay somebody in South Korea who's going to work 60-hour work weeks and do it for half the cost, or have that right here in America? It doesn't really, even though the workers may feel that they deserve that, and maybe they do, it doesn't really help as far as bringing jobs back to America when they're going to work 32 hours and get paid more than these other countries are willing to do it.
We'll see how long this lasts, you know, and again, that Sean Fain's got that opportunity to have more people, deploy more people on strike as things go along right now, because it's only a limited amount of 10% of the workforce right now, I think, is on strike. So, the idea is if you don't negotiate like we want, we're more and more going to be on the picket line.
Yeah, by the way, Trump now the betting favorite to beat Biden in the 2024 general election. We'll talk about that when we get back. Plus, this judge's ruling on the Trump Organization fraud. We'll discuss that some too.
Do we have to actually justify how many hours a week we work to anybody out there? Looks like the text line's alive and cooking with that. Yeah. I mean, if you listen to our voices, like you would, all right, if you listen to the voice of Sean Sullivan, he works 10 hours a week.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't.
No, he works like 8.
He works a bunch. So so Dan and Dalton are on from 6 to 9. And therefore, the texter, I guess he's just kidding us, says, you know, you guys only work 15 hours a week. Not true.
I've never said that radio is a difficult job. I've never said that it's backbreaking work, you know.
No, it's not.
Actually, every time someone asks me, you know, what are you going to do? I'm like, well, I hope I get a job in radio. I like talking.
It's easy.
Yeah, all I do is talk all day.
Yeah, but there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of research and reading and preparing that goes into the show, and just nuts and bolts of keeping a radio station going. You're really involved with all of that. I try to get here early enough so I can understand fully or have a better idea of what exactly is going on and what different points of view are, and so that takes some time.
Yeah, but it ain't blue collar. I'll say
no,
that.
It's not blue collar.
It ain't blue collar from a long line of blue-collar workers and restaurant workers. I mean, I've seen hard work. I've done hard work, but, radio's fun. I love it. And I would work 80 hours. I have 80 hours a week, 90 hours a week, because I like it so much. And I'm not saying that these United Auto Workers are wrong to ask for that.
Yeah.
I'm saying when you have a workforce that is, I don't want to use the word spoiled. What's the word I'm looking for here? A workforce that we have here in the United States, especially in some of these jobs, like factory jobs, where it ain't North Korea and it's not China, where you have to put nets out to keep the workers from jumping off their third story sewing machine and offing themselves because the work is so hard and they don't get paid. But it does make it difficult to compete with those countries when the employees are worth a certain amount of money.
Well, there was work like that in the United States, and that's how the unions became.
Right.
I mean, you had backbreaking work in little mill towns, first up in Massachusetts, and then those jobs drifted to the South, just like they, you know, Massachusetts was the loser. Swift Textile then was in Columbus, Georgia, suddenly, or Macon, Georgia, or Greenville, South Carolina. So you had a lot of, but that was hard work. Mm-hmm. And those communities also had basically housing built right around the factory.
Right.
So the people almost, look, you're going to go home, then you're going to come, you're going to come back. You know? So unions came from unfair situations from many, many years ago.
But then it became cost effective to even move those jobs out of the South United States to China, South Korea. And you were talking about how much sway the unions used to have.
Right.
They don't have that kind of sway anymore because there's no need for so many of these unions aren't as big as they used to be because the jobs are gone.
Yep.
So I don't know how you get out of it, honestly, except if you could somehow demand that the rest of the world. Well, I do know how you get out of it. You tax these companies who are sending their jobs elsewhere, or you put major taxes on them for selling their goods in the United States if they aren't going to have their jobs in the United States. You make it an equal competition through taxation rather than just letting them, all these jobs that should be American jobs, all of these things that should be made in America, you're just letting them, you know, put them elsewhere.
But you've created another level of inflation because everything that we used to buy cheap because it's done with cheap labor, now suddenly it's like, how much did that cost?
Mm.
So, we got the Jordans and those things cost a lot anyway. But to think that so many of these products that we, don't think twice about, we should think twice where they're made and how that's affecting the country.
Yeah. Peter Navarro, who was a trade advisor for Trump, and he has been for 20 years at least, saying that China is our biggest threat.
Mm-hmm.
And he laid it out. He said, whenever you, this interview I was listening to, whenever you buy something made in China, whether it's Walmart, Amazon, wherever it is, that money is more or less going directly to the Chinese military, who would love to blow us off the face of the earth. Mm. It's just, it's cheap and it's easy to buy them.
Yeah.
So it might not stop anytime soon. Fire Dog said Travis King will likely fade into obscurity if he is smart. I would say so.
That's probably best
to lay low for a little while.
That's what you predict for Vivek Ramaswamy as well.
That's what I predict.
I never think 3 months ago that you could put them on the parallel. Vivek Ramaswamy running for president, articulate, friendly, and yet stern patriot, and this crackpot over in Korea.
Will he run for president? That's what everyone's asking.
King?
Yeah, Travis King. Your friendly neighborhood banker says, can y'all imagine the fallout if Trump referred to LL Cool J as boy?
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, he would get destroyed. You know, Biden, he's been getting hammered over it, too, from the left. Maybe not to the point that Trump would be, but they aren't just being quiet about it. Dirt Digger says, Biden talks big, but when the automobile companies fall, we the people have already bailed them out once. Here comes another bailout. I thought of that when Biden yesterday was talking to them and he said that they saved the automobile industry in 2008. I was like, didn't the taxpayers save the automobile industry in 2008?
Yeah, without really the taxpayers' consent.
Yeah.
It just happened.
This texter says, GC, movie and show producers should have hired non-union writers. That strike would have ended fast. We got a lot of texts this morning. We'll try to get to some more when we come back here. 251-343-0106. Plus, that judge said Mar-a-Lago was worth how much money?
Like 18 to 28 million. And we'll talk about that on the way, too.
Yeah.
That's Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Wednesday. Right now it's time to talk with Louie Arata over at McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine here at FM Talk 106.5, and just a few days left in the month of September. It means it's a great time to get over to McConnell and pick up a ride.
That's right, and it looks like it's going to be a little good weather out there. It's a little cloudy, and we're going to be here all day, and we're going to sell a few cars, but we got a great selection out there. We got some GM certifieds that y'all don't know about the certification on a GM. It gives you an extra 12 on the factory warranty, plus bumps that Powertrain up to 100,000. And powertrain means anything that touches oil. Mm. So we can get that out there. We got great low interest rates on those new good-looking Sierras pulling those floats at the South Alabama football game. So y'all check all those out. They're sitting all out front, sitting there looking at them right now. And like I said, we got a great selection to use. Check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. You want to sell your car, call Gene, 251-476-4141. Give him the VIN and the miles, and he'll give you a price because we're looking for cars every day.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We appreciate your time this morning, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him and the whole crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
836 with Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5. We'll get to the Ascension Technologies text line here in a moment. Also, it's kind of, it's amusing to me. I guess it's not amusing to you at all that in the course of this summer and baseball season that I've become you and you've become me.
Yeah.
Because now...
A cruel twist of fate. Not cruel for you.
Well, I was fed up with YouTube TV because I couldn't get Bally Sports, which has the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting around like there was nothing I could do about it.
Yeah, every morning.
There was something I could do about it.
Yeah, I was watching the Braves, and every morning it was like I was reading to the blind. Like I would come in and tell you what happened in the Braves game.
Tell me more, Daddy.
And you're like, oh, wow. And so he hit it that far? Wow. And then now, so you switch,
mm-hmm.
and you've got the Braves.
Yep.
And the way that I was getting the Braves was through a...
Illegal.
I wouldn't call it illegal.
Breaking the law.
Depending on who's looking at it. So I had a login to watch them through the Bally Sports app.
Yeah.
The login quit working 2 weeks ago. So now you get the Braves... And I don't. And now you're reading to me, the blind, in the morning, what the Braves game was like the night before.
But, you know, the fact is, and if you watch the Braves, if you're a Braves fan, and I know a lot of people in Mobile are, it's this team.
Ridiculous.
So they've got 101 victories. There's a couple of other teams that are close. L.A. in the National League's got 97, and Baltimore in the American League's got 98. And it is important to have the most wins. To
home field advantage,
World Series included.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if the Braves,
what happened to that All Star nonsense with whoever won the All Star game?
They figured out that was ridiculous a long time ago.
Okay.
So yeah, the Braves need one more win to officially clinch number one in the National League, and two more wins, and they'll officially clinch the best record in Major League Baseball. Which would mean if they make it to the World Series, they would have home field advantage.
Here's some of the stats on the Braves that last night I was noticing that are like. You cannot believe that they've got four players in that lineup with over or about to
mm-hmm.
four players with over 100 RBI.
Yeah. So you have what? Matt Olson, he leads the entire major leagues.
He's got all those home runs too, right?
Albies, Acuña, they're over 100, and then you have Austin Riley who he's got four away.
96, yeah. So he's got a week or so to get four.
That's ridiculous.
Like his odds. Four players with 100 RBI.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dodgers are close to doing the same thing. Also, five players on the Braves with 30 home runs or more, including Olsen, who's got
53.
Yeah. So anyway, you were telling me earlier that if you could have navigated this whole thing, you would rather I had the first half of the year and you were able to watch down the stretch.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is amazing to watch that team play. And I can't even stay up for most of the game, but I mm-hmm. see the pregame and I watch first few innings and off I am to dream my little dreams.
Yeah. So there you go. You are Dalton, and Dalton is Dan now when it comes to the Atlanta Braves.
Yes.
We'll get to some of these texts here in a minute. Yeah, Trump is set to speak tonight to have the exact people. He's speaking to current and former auto workers in Clinton Township outside of Detroit, and it's set to serve as counter programming to the second Republican primary debate. Not sure where the rally will be broadcast. Newsmax, maybe, online. But, you know, it's not like 2015 when CNN, MSNBC, Fox, everyone was showing the Trump rallies.
Yep. Yeah, there were ratings.
It would be a smart move for CNN or one of those tonight to show his rally speech because they won't have the debate on. That's Fox Business.
That's a good point.
They'll have the debate. They'd
get ratings, and they'd have a lot of people groaning and grumbling inside the building.
Yeah, too. What was the last time that – oh, it was the one-on-one interview with Caitlin Collins.
Yeah.
When Trump destroyed her and CNN on CNN.
Yeah.
And then
they were like, why did we do this to ourselves?
Immediately after it was over, you had Anderson Cooper and Jake Tapper. Anderson Cooper almost cried on the air. He's like, and apologizing. Like, they just showed somebody getting ran over by a vehicle on live TV. They're like, we are so sorry.
So sorry you had to watch that.
So sorry that we showed you that. That was absolutely one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So this Trump organization fraud ruling yesterday, a New York judge found Trump and his family business committed fraud. They said that the Trump organization made false and misleading valuations on much of his real estate empire. And the judge also ordered the cancellation of legal certificates that have allowed the Trumps to do business in New York. And things have been trending this way for some time, if you couldn't tell, since Attorney General Letitia James, who I believe ran for office on the basis of going after Trump.
So he's agreed, his ruling was in favor of her.
Of her.
And but there was a curious way that he got to some of these valuations.
So that, yeah, this tees it up for a trial. They'll determine exactly how much Trump owes, I guess. James sued Trump last year. They're saying Trump inflated his annual net worth by as much as $3.6 billion. And they're saying, from what I've read, that Mar-a-Lago alone in Florida, they said, let's see, a New York judge ruled Trump inflated his property values, including Mar-a-Lago, which the judge determined was worth $18 to $27 million.
Yeah,
Mar-a-Lago, judge says, is worth $18 to $27 million.
I know a little bit about real estate, not much. That's ridiculous. If,
yeah.
if you got real estate comps in that area, beachfront, it would be way beyond that.
Well, they call it Billionaire's Row, right?
Yep.
That line of homes there in Florida. They looked at the valuations of homes nearby Mar-a-Lago. And Mar-a-Lago, which is on 20 acres and sits in the middle of all these properties with
kind of like 130 rooms, too.
And water access on both sides of the property,
yeah,
including a beach, 20 acres. They say, again, it's worth $18 to $27 million. Nearby homes that are on a third of an acre to nine-tenths of an acre are listed for $18 to $40 million now.
Right.
And they're saying that Mar-a-Lago is worth equal value or less than these homes that are on, that are maybe a 20th, a 50th of the size of Mar-a-Lago. It's just, it's not checking out.
No, of course not. And Forbes appraised a property at Mar-a-Lago. This isn't 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So in 5 years, I would think that property's booming in terms of its value. $160 million back in 2018, that was after extensive renovations. And the property includes 20,000 square foot ballroom, 5 clay tennis courts. On, you know, that a lot of these other properties don't even come close to having. So if it was $160 billion in 2018, it's I've seen some estimates of $300 billion now. So where he comes up with million.
Yeah, not billion.
Million. He comes up with $18 to $27 million when the actual property value in 2018, apologize for the billion, was $160 million.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's what property costs in a property like that. That's what it's valued at. And I mean, do your work.
And I'm not saying that Trump didn't overvalue his assets
no.
to get more friendly loans or whatever it may be. And remember, he was asked by a reporter, I can't remember when it was, but the reporter asked him about why he uses loopholes to not pay taxes. And he said, because those are the rules.
Yeah.
He said, everyone who's worth this much money, all of these politicians, are exploiting loopholes in the tax law to not pay certain money.
That's what my tax advisor told me to do.
It would be bad business to do this or that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much he truly overvalued his company, but there's no... It's obvious the entire point of all this is to, one, they want Trump in jail. Whatever it takes to keep him out of possibly being the president again. They want him in jail, but they also want to ruin his life financially, too. They want to completely dissolve the Trump Organization over this, which, I mean, think of all the business scandals over the years and how many more were much, much more egregious than this. But I can't break down every single thing for you because it's just it's not my specialty. But I do know that just based off of the valuation of Mar-a-Lago alone, according to the judge, you can see how this is completely out of hand.
Yeah, it looks like it really is. And it just takes, I mean, any competent real estate agent or real estate firm could... Let me get Shannon Hesse on it. You know, I mean, anybody could figure this out for you.
What's fair value for Mar-a-Lago?
Yeah, right. And that seemed to be the crux of all this, right? And it seems to be way, way low in his ruling. 847 FM Talk 106.5. I'm going to talk to Jeff Poor on the way next. Morning from Dan and Dalton. 852 on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings as we hit the text line.
Yes, this texter says Trump was already scheduled to speak to UAW before Biden said he would go to the picket line. Accurate. Haywood says the union demand for 32-hour work weeks in line with the Affordable Care Act of 30 hours a week or 130 hours a month is being full-time. Terry, also commenting on this, says fair trade is good for the American worker. Free trade, good for the 401k. These are not the same. Dirt Digger, we appreciate that. He's telling us how hard we work. Thanks. Ed, explain this to me like a six-year-old. I want to buy your scooter. And the scooter report, is that like the Kelley Blue Book? What's the Kelley Blue Book for scooters?
Yeah.
Says it's only worth $40.
Yeah.
Jimmy's Blue Book. I don't know. Says it's only worth $40 and I want it bad and you won't sell, so I offer $75 and you accept. Will you go to jail? Yeah, it's this valuations thing that makes it's obvious what the point of all this is, going after Trump. And Otto says, hey, guys, they will just say they made a mistake and put the decimal point in the wrong place. What a joke. And with that, we bring on Jeff Poor with the Jeff Poor Show coming up here in just about, a few minutes from now. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yesterday, big day, everybody talking maps, and what did you learn that you didn't know after your conversations with a lot of people on the air yesterday, maybe even off the air afterward?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of people try to run. Look, the way this incident, or whatever you want to call it, with the courts and these maps has fallen, it's in a middle of a election cycle for state constitutional officers. And you got a wide open new congressional district. Assuming Barry Moore could run, but he doesn't live in the district. Would he run? I don't know. But assuming he doesn't, then you have a district without an incumbent. I think you're going to see a lot of people try to run in AL2. And as we found out yesterday, Bobby Singleton, the Senate minority leader, running against Terry Sewell in a Democrat primary. So, I mean, this is profound, guys, because this is going to change kind of the trajectory of Alabama politics for decades.
Yeah, you've talked before about how this may affect Sewell and the votes that were given for her in her districts. And Singleton looks at this and says, hey, I might have a shot. How could you see this playing out?
That one's a little tougher to see changing. They did the proof that there's injustice in this on this planet is the way they did that for Terry Sewell. She is she's a product of the Black Belt of Selma, Alabama. Went and got her law degree. Studied abroad at Oxford. Comes back, gets a job at a law firm in Birmingham, and runs for Congress. And so she's like tied into the Birmingham community, but she's a child of the Black Belt.
Mm-hmm.
And the way some of these maps had it, they were going to split up the Black Belt into two. I mean, they did a little bit of that, but she's going to keep her two strongholds. In 2010, guys, she ran for that seat. Arthur Davis had stepped down to go run for governor, and it was her and Sheila Smoot in a runoff. And the distinguishing the factor in that election and that runoff was that she, Terry Sewell, had outperformed Sheila Smoot in the Black Belt, and that was the difference.
So even now, whichever map they choose, District 2 is going to look a lot different, and many of the people listening right now will be voting for District 2. Todd Stacey kind of talked about it with Sean a little bit yesterday, but even if a Republican does win in District 2, and maybe it's a toss-up, maybe not, that Republican won't be, likely not to be as hardline a conservative as maybe you have with Barry Moore right now. You think it'll have to be a moderate Republican that stands a chance in District 2?
No. I mean, that's taught Stacey Wish casting. Yeah. Look, the way this works now, you got to have competitive primaries, and you got to see the Republican electorate, the primary electorate, which is going to be more conservative. It's not at a very competitive Democrat primary. Democrats would typically vote in Republican primary, right? Because there's nothing to vote on. Now you have something to vote on. You take away those voters. You're going to have the ideological ends of the spectrum the way it was intended to be, determining who the candidates will be in that election. So I think it really will be a Stephen Reed or a Brubaker or somebody like that. And it's not going to be some milquetoast moderate Republican.
Hey, Jeff, yesterday Governor Ivey and her friends were presented with the quote-unquote final guaranteed maximum price. Sounds like something on The Price is Right.
What a day for a news dump.
But in any event, the $1.082 billion Elmore County prison, is that the final guaranteed maximum price or what?
No, it's going to go up more, I would have to think. We're very early here. It is a joke, and this is what's going to happen. I hear from contractors they could have built this a lot cheaper, but yep. The state has its you know, approved contractors. At some point, you got to see them bite off too big of a piece here, and there's going to be pushback, and you're going to see some kind of reform to the way we do. This construction management stuff looks to me like a big, giant money laundering scheme for those who are plugged into the system.
Yeah, and that makes me wonder, from the Cannabis Commission to construction contracts, seems like everything that the state government touches, they screw up. I'm wondering how, with these new districts, how things might look come March with those primaries and what kind of dysfunction there may be as they try to line everything up and have people vote in the correct elections.
People just losing faith in their institutions. And, we have to have the RSA come in and build a state house, right?
Yeah, Smoothie King State House.
Like, what is going on here? There's something wrong with Alabama. They don't do this in other states. I don't think this system is sustainable.
Well, yeah, keep in mind, they've got to also, they'll be able to build that 100, what's the
ABC store?
Warehouse?
Yeah.
What was that?
$100 million?
$100 million.
Yeah. So. Wow. Unbelievable. A lot of great guests coming up. Jeff, Rick Pate, Vicki Davis, Joey Clark, Bradley Cox. We're looking forward to them all today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks for being with us, Jeff. Appreciate that.
That's on the way in minutes. Mobile Mornings on the way in hours. 21 to be exact. We'll be back tomorrow morning.